Okay, I would like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Mountain Regional Water. It is May 15th, 2025 at 6:01 p.m. Do we have any public input tonight?
We do not.
Okay, well then let's get on to the audit presentation.
First of all, let me introduce. So this is
Okay.
Kyle Green from Squire and Company. He's been the partner who has worked with us closely this year. As you recall, Squire is the new auditors we hired. So just quick introductions for you. Dave Thomas, County Attorney, right to your right, and then board members Joel, Karen, Mike, and Ian to your left. You know Lisa, Andy, and I. Anna's customer service manager, Chris is our CTO, and Jess is our staff engineer. So that's who your audience is. So
Okay.
Kyle's going to start off, give us kind of his view, and then I might just talk about
Yep,
a few
and you can use
numbers.
that the remote to just go through the.
Oh, okay.
If you want.
Do you want me to, or are you okay? What we do
Everybody's
first?
got a hard copy, who is probably critical to have a hard copy. If you want to follow along that way, you can probably tell
Okay.
them the pages.
Okay, I'll tell page numbers. Awesome, thank you. And thanks for letting me come up and be part of this a little bit. So our job as auditors is to come in and ultimately issue an opinion on the financial statements. And come in and say, are they materially correct? Are balances supported? Is there evidence there? Right? Those are the things that we're required to do. So that's our main part. And of this bound report in front of you, a few pages are quote unquote mine, are our report, and then the rest is yours, right? As your responsibility. So I was just going to go through our reports. So I flipped just past the table of contents, the very first report there, independent auditor's report. And just wanted to spend just a few minutes there. Thank you. So the very first paragraph, or paragraphs, I should say, right there, that section is our opinion. And so, like I said, that's what we were hired to do, is ultimately issue an opinion. So that second paragraph will say that, in our opinion, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects. And so what that means when we use that word materials, we didn't look at everything. There is thresholds that we look at and determine, but based on what we've looked at, we're able to issue a clean opinion. Okay? The next paragraph, it talks about, or next section is the basis for opinion. I just wanted to read that last sentence. It just helps give a little bit more clarity as to what we do. But it says, we believe that the audit evidence, so I'll stop there. So really quick, audit evidence, confirmations that we sent to banks, to your customers for the accounts receivable, for debt, invoices that we've looked at, receipts, all those things that we look at, right? So that's the audit evidence that we've obtained is sufficient and appropriate to provide a basis for our opinion. So everything that we've looked at is sufficient that we can be able to feel comfortable to issue the unmodified opinion. Okay? The next paragraph down, just highlight, and then maybe we can show some more things there. But this year, there's an emphasis of matter, which is just we're trying to highlight to you as a board, hey, there's some changes. So two things. One, there was a new accounting standard that you had to implement. It was GASB 101. So unfortunately, we're in the 100s as it comes to GASB statements and things that you have to follow. So GASB 101 was implemented, and then there's a restatement for an assessment receivable that was ultimately reported. Okay? And we can go through there. Those two things, again, as we say, our opinions are not modified with respect to that. So it's still a clean opinion, issuing a clean opinion. Okay? Won't spend any, the other paragraphs talk about your responsibility as management, my responsibility as the auditor, and then it goes over some of the other items that are in here, some of the we call required supplementary information and other information that's just presented. Okay? All right. So, I was going to head next to the government, our control letter. That's our other letter, if that's okay. But you can tell me if there's questions or you've got anything to to ask me, you want to go somewhere else, I'm certainly flexible. And then I believe, as I talked with Steve this morning, he's going to go over some of the financial data, right? So I'm all the way down, Chris, sorry, all the way down to 43. And that's actual page number. I'm not sure on the PDF. All right, so that's our control letter there. So this is where we would document and report any controls. And this year we do have one finding to note due to that restatement that we talked about for the special assessment receivable. And so as we mentioned there, it's right down there at the bottom, kind of indented, if you can see it. But ultimately, we had to restate for a new receivable coming on, and that impacted your net position. I should know that number right offhand. It was about $1.8 million that ultimately came on. So an additional receivable in your net position increased by that amount. So with that, that's the finding that we have this year to report. Any questions specifically related to that and how that's presented? You good? Okay. So I'll go two more pages, and this is now our audit report on state compliance. So as you're aware, you also have to go under a state compliance audit, kind of an annual audit. There's a variety of steps that are required. Some are required to be done annually, and some are on a rotating basis. Once every 3 years is what the audit guide says that the state auditor produces. The three that we tested this year are all actually some of the annual ones. The rotating ones have all been tested last year, so we didn't have to do any more of that testing. So indented there, you'll see budgetary compliance, fund balance, and fraud risk assessment. So those are the areas we had to look at. Within each of those areas, there are specific steps that we as auditors have to look at to ensure that you are complying with those rules that the state auditor is bringing us to check.
Question on that.
Yeah.
Reminder, what are the ones that aren't annual that were done last year then?
The rotating ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the rotating ones could be Cash Management Act, so that's the semi-annual report that you have to submit. Special and local district board members or members. I'm trying to draw the video. There's impact fees.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the ones you did.
Open and Public Meetings Act.
More than a couple. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. There's a handful. I'm cool. Probably depending on one or two more that apply to you, but those are the ones quickly that I can
that's a good list.
Mention. So we didn't have to test those ones. So we did these ones in that right under where it said fraud risk assessment is our opinion there. And again, our opinion is you've complied in all material respects with state compliance and no other matters or findings to note as it relates to compliance. What we had to test there. Okay. So any questions on what our reports potentially say or the work that we've done? Questions there?
For getting up to speed with a new entity, how easy was this in your experience?
Yeah, good question.
Or hard. Sorry. Yeah, no, great question.
No, you're just great. Thank you. You have a great staff. Starting with Andy and then down, right? You have a great staff. They care about doing it right and it shows. And again, as I talked about that audit evidence that we're able to obtain, that was, I don't want to use the word easy, right? Because there's work to go on, especially on their side to make sure that everything is supported. But yeah, you have a great team, and so they were able to answer questions, provide what we needed. There was no, hey, you can't look at that, or why do you need to look at that? They were open and willing to communicate with us, and so it was good.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you.
Unless we really, Steve and Lisa.
I know, right?
Yeah. Your name got mentioned, but yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
We know.
Well, if we're okay, I'm just going to hit a couple of highlights, mainly in the first section, the MD&A. One of the things with Squire taking over this year, and because of the restatement, we only have 1 year in the actual statements they provided. But we wanted to still have some comparisons so we could look at last year versus first year, or last year versus this year. So if we look on page 5, just a little talk about the revenue. So you can see that operating revenue was about $2 million higher, and that was due to the water sales. We talked about we had a rate increase, and then usage really spiked last year. So that's why the increase year over year on that. Operating expenses also increased, less than revenue, obviously, by 7.9%. Not all of that. Some of that was depreciation. There was the consulting with the EAM project. So it wasn't like everybody got a 7.9% raise. It wasn't that. It's just overall expenses were a 7.9% increase. If we look at the non-operating revenue, you'll see there's about a $1.6 million jump in that from the previous year. That was interest, that interest earnings were high, and the $400,000 grant from Rocky Mountain Power also goes into that category. And then also impact fees were about $300,000 higher. So that kind of explains why non-operating revenue went up so much. On the non-operating expense side, the interest on the new Series 2023 bond is really the reason for the jump from $1.2 million to $1.8. So that's why that increased. So just kind of walk through the year-to-year comparisons there. On the current assets, as you'll see, the net, if you look all the way down at the net position ending, we went from $95 million to $102 million, and that's because, again, any let's say, increases in net position we have or profits get put back into the district. So it's always good to see the net position going up because that means we're putting more back into assets, keeping funds in faster than our assets are depreciating. Our net position is increasing. That is where, if you get into the pile of particular questions that I talked about, and just to talk about that for just a moment, what it was is every year Promontory, we get so much money from Promontory that we sell lots. And each year we were recognizing that as revenue. A GASB rule that Squire applied says that you should have recognized that all as revenue in the very first year, because basically you're owed that money as soon as you completed that work. And so it becomes a receivable. So it's not any revenue. It's now you've got a right to go collect that. So it actually increased our net position. It increased how much the company, quote unquote, is worth. So even though it was a restatement, it was a positive in a way of looking at it. So, but there was a really good discussion, let's say. There was a lot of back and forth on how to do that, how best to handle that. And I think we came up with a good solution, thanks to Kyle's willingness to work on that a little bit and some investigative work on our part that we thought, because as you may know, Stagecoach and Community Water are similar, but they're not the same as Promontory. So we're handling those how we've always handled them, but we all agree Promontory should be handled that way. On page 9, I just want to highlight one thing there, or a couple of things. First, on the wholesale water sales at wheeling fees, you'll see it dropped by about $270,000. That is the money we get from Weaver Basin to send water to Summit Water and Park City. The drop was, again, because we dropped that 100-acre feet under contract. Now, going into this year, we still have that contract, but in 2026, we don't. So there is some revenue there we'll be replacing with revenues from our own customers that we'll need to do. And the other just highlighted a little more than non-operating revenue down in the lower section. That's $524,000. And if you look at last year, it's only $57,000. That's $400,000 grant money from Rocky Mountain Power. Let's see. I already talked about the interest expense increase. Let's go to page 11 for just a moment. The construction in progress, you'll see the big jump from last year, about $1.35 million to $9.8, and that's the building and maintenance shop because that's still undergoing. So that's why that big increase there. If you look at equipment, you'll see an increase of about $1.6. What that is mainly the solar array. So every year so the solar array got added to new equipment. We depreciated other equipment, bought a couple of new trucks. So that's kind of, so it's a net, it's down about 1.6. The solar array did cost about 1.8, but that's why such a big jump in that category this last year. So other than that, you know, it was a good year revenue wise, and I personally think the district's in a really good financial position. We've got a lot of things going on in the future, but I think we're doing well of where we are right now. So, Kyle, anything I say that you wanted to comment on, or
not what you said? It just came to my mind. I think I mentioned it to you. I think it was to you, Eve, on the phone, and not when Andy or Lisa were on there at one point. But there is another new standard, GASB 103. That is coming out. So 102 has already been issued. There was no impact for you guys that had to be warranted. 103 is coming. That has to be implemented next year. I personally haven't taken a great dive into that yet, but it will impact your MD&A. So it talks about what's in the MD&A, what shouldn't be in the MD&A. So there might be a little bit of change there. And then also because you're a proprietary fund, and I just don't know if there'll be anything that will qualify, but they're starting to use what is called a subsidy. So you have to verify if there's any subsidies, and you'll have operating subsidies and non-operating.
Okay.
And there's a chance that some sources of revenue might be now defined as a subsidy as opposed to what it has been before. Just something to, I don't anticipate it would be new revenue that you've never had. It would just be a classification of, and it would present your typical presentation of operating income, non-operating changes. Because now there's a new category. So something to just look forward to, some research that's going to have to be done. Look forward to might not be the right word again, it is coming, and there will be some impact, mostly presentation. I wouldn't imagine there's an impact on, again, how balances are changing, but there may be some different implementation things. So know that 103 and 104, I don't remember if 104 is implemented this year or the next, but there is a 104. Anyway, just as you look forward, know that there's GASB just doesn't.
Well, great, Kyle. Appreciate you coming up and the end product turned out nice. So thank you.
Awesome.
All right. Any questions or any comments or anything?
Thank you.
All right. We'll let you get home then.
Okay. Appreciate it. Oh, these two. One for
you.
One more memory yourself.
I've shaken your hand, but I'm all the way over here.
Dave, I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Cheers.
Actually, I'm going to follow you up.
It's that time of year.
This is MDNA. What's MD when he says MDNA?
Right. Right. And GASB is Government Accounting Standard.
Yeah, we know. It's in the board factor. That's what Chris said.
All right. Moving on. I do believe we need to go into executive session tonight.
Yes.
So would anyone like to make a motion to go into executive session?
Motion to go into executive
litigation.
Thank you. Motion to go into executive session for litigation.
Okay. And Joel seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous.
Yep, so Brian just jumped off.
I know, I think there might have been more reading on this agenda than we've had in a long time.
Wanted to make up for last.
Yeah. Okay, so then let's move on to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any changes to the meeting minutes?
No, I did not.
And does anyone have any questions on the check register?
No.
had one. So there was two Corollo invoices that came in that just a couple backed up. Were those monthly invoices or?
They usually invoice us monthly, but depending on, we only do checks once a week. So sometimes we might end up with two, but yeah, timing, just timing.
Okay. That was it on my side.
I had a question. It looked like we had several Nickersons. And then a Mountain Land Supply. Was that all the same kind of pump thing at the treatment plant?
Lost Canyon. They pulled one pump and repaired. Sorry.
Yeah, so treatment plant was the irrigation meter for the Mountain Land.
Mountains, yes.
Okay.
But the Nickerson ones, they pulled two pumps, refurbished them. One was put back in the hole. The other one's now the new spare because the old spare had gone into
right. Okay.
Right?
Yep, there's one coming through from Texwell. That's the final one.
Yep, and then we're all ready to go for summer.
Yep.
And then I just, it looked like we got our Rocky Mountain power bills, and I'm just wondering if we're seeing a decrease with the solar panels yet.
Not yet. Rocky Mountain Power, unfortunately, is being very slow on sending us bills right now. And the solar panels were kind of covered during the winter.
Yeah.
But so it'll show more during the summer, and then I'll get a good read on how much money we're saving from that. But yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to gauge just yet.
Well, it'd be interesting, like maybe even while we're going through the budget to see how it's comparing to the.
Yeah. When we start getting, you'll see it in my report monthly. Kind of last year compared to this year. Well, this month is kind of the first month we've had any real production. So in June, that was what one of the things I was going to add to mine.
And the other electric factor will be Park City's not taking as much water, so the reason the pump is not as great as it has been in the past. So there's going to be a couple things.
But fortunately, I think the treatment plant will be able to get a good read kind of year to year. So.
Okay. We don't have any purchase orders. Okay, would somebody like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
And Joel is seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. And then the next item is the consideration for adoption of a resolution of the Administrative Control Board.
Long one.
Yeah. Of the Mountain Regional Water Special Service District, Summit County, Utah, recommending to the County Council of Summit County, Utah, acting as the governing body of the district, all necessary action to issue certain water revenue bonds for the Signal Hill Water Treatment Plant expansion and refunding of Bank of Utah $18 million. So I guess that'll be... Brian and Steve, because Sam's not here tonight, right?
He is not. Jess is filling in.
Okay.
Brian.
Okay. I guess I'll get going on this one. So let's talk about the easy part first. The $18 million we borrowed to construct the office and shop, we are just getting it approved that we could refinance that. Through this, we could go to the county, or you guys would recommend that we go to the council and if they wanted to approve that. Rates have dropped a little bit, but this would open up a window where we're kind of already pre-approved. So if we see the water revenue bond rate drop to where it's most beneficial for us, basically we're thinking right around 4%, and that'll save us about $1 million over the life of it. Maybe a little.
Do you think we'll get down to 4%?
We flirted with it.
We might flirt with it.
All right.
We'll see.
Where are we at right now again?
About 4.5 on the treasury. 4.4.
We have a half point difference.
Yeah. But it could. And it also just kind of gets that in play. So as soon as we want to, we can pull that trigger. So that's the easy part. The second part is the WIFIA. So we've been having our preliminary meetings with them. Probably the best summary of it is we had asked for a $34 million loan with them. Included in that is about a $6 million contingency that Corollo is saying they've already built in. talking to Withia today, they said, well, that's probably good, but it's probably a good idea. We usually like you to put another 15 to 20% in just so we don't have to go through this again. So the number tonight is 43 million for them, 18 million for them, so it'd be 61 million. That was just updated this afternoon after our call from Withia. The Withia loan, fortunately, is not a, you have to take it all and just pay it back or start paying interest. It's a drawdown. It's like a home equity line, let's say. So as we draw it down, that's when the interest only accrues on the part we draw down. So if we only end up using 34 or drawing down the 34 million that's planned, no harm in having asked for a little bit more. And again, these are just kind of guardrails that you would recommend. We go to Summit County Council to get their approval, but it doesn't commit us to 43 million or a refinance now. It just kind of gets the ball rolling so that the county, we can get in front of the county council. On June 11th, we're going to go there and talk about the treatment plan expansion. And also, and then later, and then also potentially have them approve it that day. So I wish Sam were here to talk more about the project, but as you may recall, some of you may know this, I'm not sure exactly, sorry if you don't, but the last estimate total all in was 42 million for the treatment plant. That included the $6 million contingency. That 42 million included us putting in about 5 or 6 million of our own money, a $2 million grant from the state revolving fund, let's say, but it's a grant, it's not a loan of $2 million. So that's how it gets to the $42 million. Nothing's changed from that, but just kind of going through with Withia today, they said, build in a little bit more, because if you don't use it, no big deal, but if you do need it, it's really hard to change the process there. So that's what this is all about. And I'm not an engineer, but fortunately, I would say that the WIFI has made this much more possible. If you remember the retreat we had over at Zions Bank a couple of years ago, there was some concern on being able to pull both off. It doesn't change the fact that we're going to pay a lot for it, but we've just made the payments work by pushing the WIFIA, you don't have to make a payment for 5 years. The building's on an interest only for right now. This would only be accruing interest for a while. So down the road, probably our biggest year is in 2033. We still have, from our existing debt, about $3.8 million that will still be existing then in payments. And this would add to that. The next year, the 2019 falls off. So then we're back into payments of about about 4.5, let's say right now, and we'd be about 4.8, 4.9, probably when the WIFIA loan, when we actually start making payments on it. So there could be a double-digit rate increase in 2033 if we needed to. Hopefully through help with Brian Baker and others, maybe we can smooth that out, but, you know, it's... Everything, you have to pay for everything eventually. What we've done is just push it out, which costs you more in interest, but makes it kind of more palatable to our customers.
Yeah, so it's a 40-year loan, and we don't make any payments for the first 5 years?
Yes.
Okay.
5 years after substantial completion.
And if the rates go down, will that... And we'll try to renegotiate everything.
With WIFIA, you can either pay it all off, and we get a one-time shot at a rate increase. So let's say we go through and close with WIFIA this December, but we don't start drawing any money yet because we don't need it. And then in May or April, rates drop. We can say, reset our rate, and then we can start drawing. If you've started to draw, you set the rate. But until we draw, the rate's not set. We get a one-time, that's one of the benefits of it, amongst the many benefits of it, is you do get a one-time reset as long as you haven't drawn any funds, even after the quote-unquote closing. Am I explaining that properly?
Yes. Yeah. The only other thing, I don't know if you want to talk about the subordinated piece.
We did go through that a little bit today. At first, when Lisa prepared and the application was submitted to WIFWE, we talked about it being subordinate. Then talking with Brian Baker and kind of in-house, kind of like that was extra work, something we probably didn't need. When bond counsel put it together, they made either subordinate or parity available. And what that is parity is all kind of first lien. Subordinate, let's say, is second lien. First lien, we have to beat our 1.25 ratio. So for every dollar we owe in debt, we have to make 25 cents more than that. If you subordinate the loan, sometimes that would drop down to about 1.1, so we don't have to make 10 cents for every dollar of debt additionally. So it would potentially
just
help
with the apportion.
Just with the apportion. So it would leave us the possibility of borrowing more money and not having to generate as much revenue to cover that borrowing. It still may not be worth it because in some ways we don't want to borrow more than we can afford to pay back or that our customers can afford to pay back. But that is something we haven't fully decided on yet, whether to go with the parity of the subordinate. We're kind of going to get some costs, how much of a headache it is. If we go through the refunding on the $18 million for the building, we will get re-rated again. And we could probably piggyback the rating on the subordinate debt at the same time and save a little bit of cost. So instead of paying for two, maybe you pay for like one and a half or something. So if a few things fall in place right, we'd probably try to subordinate it. Still no Brian, huh? Mm-hmm. Would you, maybe I've got a number for him, but maybe he just got tied up in something. Anything else, Andy, you want to add? Or thoughts on the treatment plan or going to the council?
Can I ask a couple of questions? Because I was reading, you know, maybe I'm just getting too much into the weeds on this stuff, but the WIFIA paperwork made it sound like that loan couldn't exceed 49% of the project costs. And so I wasn't sure if this loan was covering everything or if that was maybe
because for some, I can't remember if it's because we're size.
Yes, it's because of our size.
Okay.
Of our WIFIA is willing to do an 80-20.
So
because of that, we just barely kind of squeaked in under that 80-20 rule. So instead of doing 49%, which is what they typically do, they actually will do 80% on our budget.
Because of our size, meaning we're so small?
Yeah, because we're below 10,000.
Oh, okay.
And so that does help. So the 20%, you know, the $6-8 million, that's where the $2 million grant.
That's the stuff that we're putting in.
That we'll put in enough to cover 20%.
And we'll be able to count the money that we're spending with Corollo as part of our 20%. So
it's 20%
on top of that.
Yeah.
It's not percent of 20% of construction, it's gonna be 20% of the whole project.
And right now we're at is that 5.5% interest rate in the paperwork just kind of a placeholder?
Yeah, it is. We would never think, well, for sure on the building, we wouldn't pull the trigger if it was that high.
Yeah.
But it kind of just, again, sets up a guardrail not to exceed. Thank you, Andy.
And we can get it done in 18 months to 3 years?
The construction?
Yeah.
That's what Sam said.
Okay.
The challenge with the treatment plan, of course, is we're going to need it operational in the peak months. So there are some things like the chemical building that we should be able to do the construction of. But when we're changing out the skids and things, we just have to be strategic on when we do that. So that's why the project may be drawn out a little more than a shorter time period.
2 years.
Okay.
So that's what we're planning on.
Use the winter months to shut down completely.
Yeah, yeah. So those are my only questions. Did you guys have any other questions?
Yeah. So you said right now we're at about 4.5 million that we pay in annually in debt service.
Yeah.
Okay, and then it may go up to 4.8 or 4.9.
We'll know better, but yeah, that's kind of the early estimates on what that would go up to. So,
what's your pessimism?
Well, It has a SUMA rate, but yeah, okay. Over amortization.
Somewhere in there, so it's maybe $500,000 more dollars of revenue we'd need. And you're saying we need a 2x rate increase to create that extra $500,000?
Let me back up a little bit. For next year, because we're losing the Weber Basin revenue, I think we're going to need about a 6% rate increase. After that, until 2033, we're not going to add any rent. So any rate increases would just be to have to match an expense increase.
We have no plans of adding debt.
Yeah, we have no plans of adding. No debt's been added. So that would be 3 or 4% a year, let's say, until 2033. In 2033, we have to kind of get over a hurdle. So there might be a large rate increase that year, and then it would kind of smooth out to expenses again. And just since you have it in front of you, on page 24 of the audit, if you wanted to look at that, this is our debt picture, a summarized form. So the January 1st balance, you can see $52 million. That's all of our, let's say, long-term debt. At the end of the year, it was about $49 million because of all the payments we made. The due within a year is kind of the principal, but you add interest onto that, and that's about another million, so it's 4.5. So if we add this debt, we'll go from, let's say, $49 million to 80 plus. But we should be able to, the payment would stay, get as high as $5 million a year, worst case scenario. But because of pushing that out, so much of the interest out, that's why the rate increases won't have to be double digits starting right now, because we can push it out until 2033.
How did you get from 49 to 80?
Well, if we borrow $34 million, from WIFIA, which is what we requested. So we're at 50. We'll pay it down a little bit over the next couple of years. So then you add 34 and we're about 80. And I think I'm doing that math in my head. Because right now our debt payments, as you can see, we dropped, $3 million a year, let's say, in our current principal payments that we make. But then we would add a lot of debt back. More debt, I wouldn't say double, but almost double. But
the 2034 is coming off.
The 2034 comes off then, because that's the other thing.
On the next page.
On the next page, if you wanted to see kind of how that staggers in. Oh, thank you, Lisa. I knew there was something else here that was good. So the far right column is our total of that top box, is our total debt payments. And you see they're 4.45 million, 4.46 million. And they kind of hang out there until 2033. It drops a little bit. 2034, it really drops. But that's when we're adding another $2.5 million in payments that year. So,
which column are you on?
Yeah, where are you looking?
Sorry. This one.
That one. Top of 25 to the far right, where you see like 4.59299. Mm-hmm. Ian, you with me?
No. What's the number again?
4,459,299.
Yeah, I got that one.
Okay.
We said in 2033 something happens?
It starts to come down a little bit because the Stagecoach and a few of the other smaller loans come off. But also the revenue comes off from some of those. But in 2034, the 2019 bond comes off. And so it would drop to about $2.5 million. And about $5 million that year. Hey, Brian.
But 2034.
How's everybody doing?
We're great. How are you, Brian?
Doing great. Good to see everyone. I will tell you, I I ducked out when you went into executive session. I didn't know how long that was going to be. But some of my most embarrassing experiences in my professional life have been sitting in a large room, kind of like zoning out on my laptop when they went into an executive session and having to have somebody come over and say, like, dude, you need to get out of here, which has happened with UAMPS, where you have like 60 members there and sometimes you got 100 people in the room. And when someone has to walk over and kind of finger you and pull you out, you're like, okay, I'm not messing around with executive sessions anymore. I will just leave. And but no, things are great. I'm sorry for being late to this agenda item.
I've covered a bit of ground, quite a bit of ground, but kind of talk about the debt long picture and the WIFIA coming on and kind of that 2033, 2034, smoothing it in as the 2019 comes off. And a little bit about the refunding on the building, please.
Yes, and wonderful. So when we looked at issuing the bonds 2 years ago, the reason that we felt that a direct placement made sense is because, one, everybody felt like rates were high. Rates have come down from where you issued, not as much as we thought they would or hoped. You know, I mean, if President Trump gets his way, which I don't know if we all want him to get his way on everything, but he really wants rates to be lower, and we would like rates to be lower, too. So in that, we have that in common, especially when it comes to the rates on the WIFIA loan and the refinancing. That would only be beneficial. But you have the opportunity to refinance that at any time. And that also gives you the opportunity to kind of restructure those bonds to make it fit better with what it is that you're contemplating with the WIFIA loan and the moving forward with the rest of the project. And so so that's a positive thing because you can kind of shape both of these together. WIFIA has indicated they're very open to structuring ideas and kind of negotiating how that will work. Obviously, the ability to not make payments for up to 5 years after substantial project completion is an incredibly generous benefit. Although you do accrue interest during that time, and so that can so that is something you don't want to. You don't want to just punt everything out there, you know, 5 years post project completion before considering how that factors into things. But with the amount that the district has looked at, you know, thinking of the $34 million estimated and putting that and layering that into to what your existing debt looks like. Steve, from the numbers we've seen, it looks like you're in a strong financial position. And this is a great, the most difficult part of any expensive new project is how to make it work right at the beginning. You know, if you have a sewer treatment plant or any of those things, the hardest years to make payments are the very first years. And so the fact that WIFIA allows the district to step into that very, very slowly and kind of you have years to get your grounds under you. You know, like if you needed a rate increase, down the road, you still have plenty of time to do that before we model in the payments commencing on this project. So, Steve, I don't know where you were, but I'm happy to answer any questions or talk about any other aspect of the financing.
I was basically saying that once the 2019 drops off and then potentially adding back in the WIFIA loan, we might be as high as $5 million a year in payments, and we're at basically $4.5 million right now. But that wouldn't be until 2033 or 2034 when we start to have to feather those in. Does that sound about what you've been seeing running numbers to, Brian?
Yes. Okay. And they offered, Steve, I don't know if you talked through, they in our conversation with them today, they mentioned that you can ask for you know, the size of this parameter, the $61 million includes up to $43 million from WIFIA, which is way above where we think this project is going to be. However, if you do have overages and you'd only asked for the 34 or the 36, they have the ability to simply just give us a larger loan. And since you don't pay interest on it until you draw it down and you don't have to draw it down if you don't need it, it's a very, very simple thing to simply take out a larger loan than we anticipate, but using what they allow, which is up to a 20% cushion in on project costs. And so that gives you the ability to put $43 million as the amount of the loan, with the idea and expectation that you will have millions of dollars that are not drawn and not needed, but that if they were, you have the ability to access them without having to go through another bonding transaction. And depending on how the WIFIA loan is structured, and, you know, that those can get complicated, because once WIFIA is in the game, they have a they have to be on a parity lien or a level standing with any other debt that is issued to help finance the project. So it's easier to just have it all through them.
Thanks, Brian. That's
yeah, that makes sense.
A good summary too.
Yeah.
Mike?
Yeah, just thinking about maybe a doubling rate, set of two. Rate increase?
Double digit would probably be what?
Double digit, not double.
11, 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
The latest model, if we couldn't smooth anything
yep.
in 2033, I think we'd have a 12% rate increase. That is 8 years from now.
Or we could just come up with another $500,000 in revenue.
Yeah. Well, that's where the rate increase would kick in. That's what would generate the other $500,000 in revenue. Or if we're selling water to some water, there's so many unknowns between now and then. But that's
or maybe whip the rates more gradually up.
Yeah. And maybe because since we're kind of thinking after next year when we do a little bit more, let's say six, and then we drop down to like doing threes, fours, maybe one of those years we build in a five and just start to build that a little
bit. So would you rather see, instead of doing a three or four, a five or six, so we don't have to do a 10 or 11.
I think that's an option.
And again, when the question was, you know, we do not anticipate any other debt in the next 10 years. Of course, we know that our system is and there may be something that comes along that we cannot control, but we're going to have to address. So
can the WIFIA be used for an unknown, or can it only be used with
projects?
Okay, so there is that control on it.
Yeah. So the concern that has been expressed a little bit is if we do this and kind of think, okay, we walked into this and then something happens, borrowing again or going out, we could probably get the money, but our rating probably starts to drop and our rating increases get bigger. But that's assuming something bad happens. Let's say, like, we really have to go in and replace all the water lines in Silver Springs or something like that, like a $5, $10 million project.
Or like the pipe from Rockport breaks, or.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean.
I shouldn't even say something like that out loud, should I, Jess?
So, I mean, not those aren't highly likely, but they are possible. On something like that. So that would be the unknown in this equation we're doing.
Can you recap the water treatment plant kind of cost history? Didn't we start off at?
It's, I'll do the best I can. Original estimates had it at about 23 million. We brought on Carole. I won't speak for the engineers too much, but I think we've been very happy with what Carole has done. The core costs are still in that low 20s, but by the time you add in contract manager or CMGC, like we've had over at the building, other fees, a contingency, all of those things, we kind of get up to where we think the construction cost would be 35 and a total of 42. Back out of the 42, 6 million.
How does it get from 35 to 42?
Let's say contingency.
Is that the WIFIA?
That's the 15 to 20 that you were talking about earlier.
That's what Corolla's already built in.
They built in
6 million. We're kind of building another 6 million into what we borrow, or 7 million, let's say.
Through WIFIA.
So Corolla's kind of given us this big picture, 42 million. We're already planning to pay about 6 to 8 million of that ourselves. $2 million grant, 6 million of our own cash. So we could go from 42 down to 34 is what we have planned to borrow from WIFIA. Now WIFIA is saying, hey, throw another 20% on there so you don't have to come back to us. Kind of thing. So to your question, we maybe have gone from a project 4 years ago that we were thinking was 23 million to a project that is 42 with a $6 million contingency. So the cost has grown. Whether that's inflation or just better engineering, or I can't really speak to that. There's obviously some inflation built into that. But the project comes from its very first numbers we brought to the board has grown in dollar amount to get the same MGD.
So you got 34 plus that 20%, that's 42.
And that'll be at 5.8 MGD?
5.6.
5.6 MGD. Okay.
That's where I'm just trying to straighten out the numbers, because it was like 43 to WIPIA or 42. It's.
Yeah. Like Brian was saying, and the plan is really to only borrow 34 million from WIPIA. The reason we're saying 43 is just they said, we'd like you to build in another 20% cushion because we don't want you to come back or somehow this project not get finished because you need $2 million more and you need to go figure that out somewhere. They'd rather, you know, we'll give you that much credit, but we're not going to expect you to draw it all down, and we don't expect to draw it all down, but it's just kind of as a safety measure.
But 20% more on 34 million is only 41. And how does it get to 43?
No, 20% of 34 million. So 6.8 million. So 34 million times 20%.
Yeah.
40.8 million.
Yeah. And how are we at 43?
It probably could have just been 41. To be honest. Because we had 36 in the packet, and then when we met with them today, they kind of said, well, you need to add 20% of construction costs or their loan. So, but 35 million twice.
Honestly, we don't know what the number is because we have not gone out to bid. But what we're seeing in the market and the costs that are going up, we don't know where we're sourcing things, and so we're trying to recognize that now so we don't come back short. And so when WIPIA said that we could add another 20% on top of that as a safety factor, we thought that was a prudent thing, because if we go with a lower number and we're short, the difficulty of finding additional financing and then having the subordinate or making it a parity or having to get a bond rating, it just would make it more complicated. The other thing with a $2 million state grant is we think we have a BABA waiver on that, but we're not 100% sure. We won't go to the state until June 10th. And so hopefully we'll know before our next board meeting whether or not we will receive the $2 million grant. And then we'll have to weigh, if there is a BABA requirement, what would that do to cost?
Because what requirement are you talking about?
The Buy America, Build America.
Oh, right.
So that could have, that could drive costs up. So then we would have to weigh, are we going to take this $2 million and have higher expenses, or are we going to have to figure out how to come up with another $2 million, or do we borrow in that factor? Unfortunately, we're still in the kind of the 30%. So if we get closer, we'll be able to refine the numbers, then we go up to bid. We'll be able to
you know, get a better number. But knowing what we know from building our current building, there are things that get forgotten. And the other difference between the original Jacobs and the Carollo, we're anticipating a $500,000 impact fee to the sewer district, putting in a sewer line. The chemical treatment area is bigger than what Jacobs had projected. There are some things that are similar, but there are some things that are different. And that, so it's not an exact comparison of what we originally were going to where we are today.
Okay, thank you.
Has the sewer department approved that, or is that still kind of in the works?
No, they're good with it.
Great.
$500,000.
Yeah. It's amazing what $500,000 can buy you.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to, we do need to make this long. We do need to consider whether we want to make a recommendation to the county council. Would anyone like to make a motion?
Is everyone in agreement on it? On the board?
I feel like we need a funding mechanism for this, and we've already,
yep.
You know, I think the Withia probably allows us to do this with the, you know, least impact to our ratepayers without having to, you know, do a giant rate increase to pay for it. So it'll help spread it out over a longer period of time.
In some ways, we've already committed to it, right?
The only thing we've committed to at this point is we've made a $25,000 application fee for the Withia loan.
And so this just gives us this opportunity.
Right.
We've made a $25,000 commitment on the Withia, but we've also have purchase orders for $3 million to Carollo.
Okay.
Part of the design.
And when does the design go out to bid?
So we project it won't go up until the fall of 26. Mm-hmm. So we're still a ways away. But Lisa's been working with Withia for a year now. And they're anxious to move us along. And one of the requirements to keep it moving is to get the parameters resolution approved.
They just want to know that we're serious, that we're into the project and we're going to use this funding so that they can move forward. I mean, they're going to start incurring costs with bond council and their advisors. And so this parameters resolution sets the stage that we do want to enter into an agreement in order to get the treatment plant funded so that we can start getting going. So.
And in 27 or 28 is when the lines cross and we're going to need that additional capacity.
Yeah.
In theory, based on the estimates, right?
On the demand side, but
yeah.
In theory, you know, we're getting 500 acre feet back next year from, no longer selling water to Summit Water. That's a lot of acre feet. And we have, we've seen kind of the consumption start to trend down just in water concurrency. And as Sam has shown, we had a pretty hot summer last year, but we don't have the highs of the highs that we used to see in 2020, which is what our master plan originally was kind of built off of. And I think why the treatment plant maybe was anticipated a little sooner and now it's getting pushed a little bit.
We're contractually obligated, though, to provide water in 2029 now. So
yeah,
that's a pretty serious demand. That's very
close. I think it's only like 100.
It's only 100 acre feet, and it's just for 1 year at this point. So,
but we did, because if the treatment plan is completed, we would have excess because we won't need the 5.6 for quite a while. I mean, this would be our last source development for a long time. And so, yeah, do we need that water by 28? for 29, we maybe need some. We don't need all of it, but you can't build a treatment plant 100 at a, you know, MGD per day or
yeah.
at a time. But yeah, that's financially, I think with Lisa's great effort on the WIFIA and working the debt and things like that, we've made it financially viable. Doing the treatment plant expansion is still a huge decision for the district. We've just tried to make it.
It's 300 acre feet in 2021.
Is it 300 acre?
300 acre.
Wow. I didn't
believe part of the expansion, though, is also some serious improvements.
That yeah. Yeah.
Right. Safety things like safety, moving the chemicals out of the building and
things
right.
like that.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is I think finance has made it possible.
Mm-hmm.
And engineering says it's necessary. So we're kind of finally marrying those two up through this process. Is that a good way to describe it, maybe? So.
Can you remind me again, the refunding of the $18 million?
Yeah. The refunding of the $18 million. So we borrowed $18 million to build the shop and office. We borrowed it at a very high interest rate because it was bad, but we wanted to get it done, and it's turned out probably good because the costs have gone up. That should help smoothen payments and drop the overall cost of that. If the cost...
I'm sorry, I have two open-ended questions.
Okay, sorry.
We're going to ask for not $43 million, we're going to ask for $61 million.
We're going to ask for...
the 18.
We're going to...
We're just exchanging the current debt for a lower, for the same amount of debt, hopefully at a lower interest rate.
Okay.
It just allows us the opportunity. And because interest rates are so volatile, we want to be able to take the opportunity to jump on it when we can and not miss it, you know.
But that's where the 61 came from.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's 43.
$18 million is debt that already exists to refinance. $43 million is new debt requests.
And by doing that, we're going to save... about a million potentially if we get a 0.5
on the $18 million.
Yeah.
Brian, do you remember what the numbers were last time you ran them, how much we'd save over the life of the refunding on the $18 million? I didn't bring that down with me.
You're muted.
There I am, muted. I apologize. The last time we ran it, it was a little over $1 million. And as has been mentioned, we have kind of historic volatility in the market right now in terms of bond rates moving around quite a bit. And so we've run scenarios where, okay, if rates drop 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 basis points or go up by that amount, what that does to the savings. And so that it does make a difference, but you know, you will refinance those bonds for savings. I think it's fair to say you would not issue the refinancing debt unless it was at lower rates than you already have and something that staff could hold up to the board and say, hey, this is what it looks like. And everybody would say, wow, that sounds pretty good.
That's $1 million total or annually?
Total. No, not annually.
That would be
right.
Yeah. Well, because let's say it's $18 million, kind of like your mortgage. Let's say there's $14 million interest on. So $32 million, it would take that from 32 to 31. And I made up the how much interest. I can't remember whether it's $10 million or whatever, but whatever. It would take the whole picture. The $30 million and bring it down to 29, because there is interest on the $18 million.
Yep, and so just from the last set I looked at, the gross savings estimated is actually closer to $2 million. Mm-hmm. And during that, if Steve showed you kind of the structure, how there are no principal payments being made on that until 34, and so during that earlier period where there are no principal payments to save on, you're saving about $50,000-$60,000 a year. Then after you have principal payments, it's easier to structure in more savings. So at that point, it becomes about $130,000+ a year in savings for the last 11 years.
And so that $2 million overall, you do net present value on it?
Yeah, that net present value is around $1.2
million.
And it would be great if the payments on this one didn't kick in until after that 2033.
Yeah.
And those bonds, the refund, they're at 5.5, 4.5.
No, they're at like 5.11 on average, I think, right, Brian? 5.12 on average.
Muted again.
Quit muting yourself.
That was the new cap.
There we go. Okay. The original bonds carried a true interest cost. Yeah, it looks like we were around 5.11, yes. You know, with them escalating. So you started at a 4.15 and went up to a 5.85.
Your cost is still 5.11.
We need to get Lithia in at about 4.4 to realize that 1.4.
Not Lithia. This is just refunding the building.
Yep.
You know, $18 million.
And the 61 is the sum of the two.
Of the $18 million refinance and the $43 million. Sorry, we thought about doing it at two different times, but we kind of thought if we're going to council and it just we might be doing one rating, we probably made that a little more complicated than it needs to be, but yes. Yeah. It's 43 plus 18. And the 18 is that we already have, we do it just refinance.
You're not going to pull the trigger on the WIPIA.
We'll pull the trigger on WIPIA. We can actually pull that anytime because we have the one-time reset on WIPIA until we actually draw down
right now at 4.5.
Treasury yield today was 4.4, Brian.
Well, yes, and they price off of the WIFIA prices off of on Treasury Direct. It's called the state and local government. They call them slugs. They have a rate table there, and it's priced off of the rate that is at the average life of this transaction. And so today it's close to 4.9% is where that rate would price the WIFIA loan.
But the refunding loan, we're looking more at...
Yes, that's closer to 4.4 or lower.
Okay, now I'm confused. So two loans? I thought we were doing one at 61.
No, it was... Oh, sorry. Wow, sorry, guys. There will be two loans. The WIFIA loan for somewhere between 34, we're hoping to maybe 43 if everything goes wrong. That's the WIFIA loan. $1 million is the loan we have with Bank of Utah right now. That would stay a separate loan. We just refinance that. And the refinance on the $18 million is about 4.5% right now. The WIFIA loan, 4.9, but that loan.
Sorry. Why are we refunding the Bank of Utah $18 million if we're just refinancing?
What are refinancing?
Lower rate.
I think the refunding is a kind of funny term as opposed to refinancing.
You're right.
Today is refinancing.
Refinancing, yeah.
Is that
yeah? It's literally like your home mortgage or whatever. You know, if and especially because the Bank of Utah deal is callable anytime. It's just saying, hey, listen, we were paying, you know, 4.15 or 4 or 5.11, and now we can pay, you know, 4.40 or lower. So that saves us money.
That makes sense.
I did want to just say there are a number of legal resolutions that are long and full of legalese, but in the document that's called the parameters resolution that would be forwarded to council, it does have a breakout between the two pieces. And so it doesn't just say in the header, it says $63 million, but further in, it would say not to exceed $43 million for the project and not more than $18 million for the refunding bonds.
We're at 63 now?
61.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Potentially. But if the rates on the building loan do not come down, we're not going to do anything with it. But we figure let's take it to the let's get a recommendation, get an approval from the council. So if rates are more favorable, we will do that. Otherwise, we believe this parameter resolution will be good for about a year.
Yep.
Unless there's a change on the council or whatever, where we have to go back and ask again. So we're just asking for permission. We're not committing to borrowing.
Yeah, part of it's just streamlining the council process. So just one time in front of them, right back to us.
Could this have been two resolutions?
It could have.
Okay.
Whoops. Somehow we don't know what's more confusing or not confusing. We thought
I get it now. Together. Sorry, it took me a long time. Yeah, I think I'm there.
Okay. Joel, do you have any other questions? Okay. So, do we feel like somebody would like to make a motion?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion recommending to the County Council of Summit County, Utah, all necessary action to issue certain water revenue bonds for Signal Hill Water Treatment Plant expansion and refinancing of Bank of Utah $18 million loan. Is that okay?
Okay, Joel seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. Brian, thank you for coming and joining our meeting tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Brian. Muted again.
I feel like maybe I should go back on mute to say goodbye and to say thank you. I'll figure it out. Hey, it's only been 5 years of using Zoom and Google Meet and Teams all the time, so I'll eventually get.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks. Have a great evening.
Okay, so what's next? We are up to considering a recommendation of approval of the annexation of parcel PP-87-14 into the service area of the district.
We have a gentleman who lives over in the Old Ranch Road area who currently has a home that is connected by a well. He owns an adjoining, or he owns a parcel that we understand he wants to put an additional dwelling on. So he is asking for permission to annex into the district. We do have other properties in this area that are also connected to the district. So he would just have to bring the line in. So
where's our line room right now to that north parcel?
It's in the road. The adjoiner here had to put the infrastructure in, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, I guess now.
They paid for that.
They paid for that, yeah.
And he owns that house that...
The red lot right below it, yeah. Just to the south.
But he owns the parcel that annexed in and this one?
No, two separate owners.
Oh, two separate owners.
Yeah.
Where's the dwelling that he wants to put water on?
It may be in the back of that property.
But it's on the same property. It's in that red box.
It's on the lot. Yeah.
Yeah, so we understand that maybe an accessory, an ADU, accessory dwelling unit.
Yeah, so he came looking to pay an impact fee, and we're like, well, technically you're not in the district. So we said at the start of it, and this is the first step in the process one.
And how much will the impact be for it?
We don't know.
Oh, so
we haven't seen what his anticipated use would be. So.
Gotcha.
Did he have to offset the cost of his neighbor to the north paid for putting that whole line in?
I don't think we have a line reimbursement agreement.
Yeah, there wasn't a line extension agreement on that one. So.
People over there are rich anyway. They can afford it. So everyone's in agreement that on staff?
Yes.
Okay.
So there are water lines out there, or?
Yes.
The water's in the red.
It's right in front of the parcel. It ends just about halfway up into the sky's lot.
Question on the well. What's he going to do with that?
We think he'll continue to service the home, the existing dwelling.
Oh, okay.
So we don't know if this is a fire flow requirement. We don't have the specific details yet.
But typically in other instances, so the other person would use some of their well right for irrigation. So they weren't using colony water for us for that purpose. They have two separate systems.
That's typically what they do.
Yeah, which is what's happened on a lot of old ranch road stuff. Okay.
There's no reason for us to try to get his water right for putting water at his house.
Yeah. We have more rights than we have.
Yeah.
We have a source, a significant source.
Okay.
Would somebody like to make a motion to consider or to
motion easy for me to say of approval of the annexation of parcel PP-87-14 in the service area of the district by Summit County Council.
Do we have a second? Joel's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous. And now we're on to general manager comments.
In the packet, there was some pictures of the new office and shop. We are moving along the floor of the, and unfortunately when Lisa makes me put these in, a lot of progress has happened since where we are now.
Good job, Lisa.
But Chris has got an updated picture. This is what the shop looked like 2 weeks ago, and the entire floor has now been poured. This was as of Wednesday of this week. The mezzanine also has been poured, so we'll be able to install the stairs, and then the wall on
the wash bay
will be going in. Also in the packet, along with the pay application, I provided you where we are with potential change orders. The majority of the change orders is related to the sales tax that we have to pay. There are some other things that, you know, we go back and forth on, things, unfortunately, that were missed in plan review, like having illuminated exit signs in the shop building. They forgot that was a requirement. Somehow it slipped.
Was the red you?
That's from Ben.
All of the red, even the no?
Yeah, that's all. Okay. From Ben. So that is everything. As part of that, we are under contract on selling our office. And then the lease on this side is going to be assumed by the county. We thought we had until the end of the year, but the county is going to assume the lease of this space in July. So if you notice, we have been, Anna has been cracking the whip, and we've been moving, throwing, removing different things. One of the things that I don't know is if we'll be able to keep this space to keep meeting. The bike share program is coming on, at least on this side. So whether we'll be able to keep meeting in this space, we are selling the building with all furnishings. So we have the kind of what they want to do with this. So we will definitely be able to meet here on June 12th. Our meeting is earlier next week, next month, because June 19th is Juneteenth, and that's a holiday for the district. So just remember that. So stay tuned for the last couple meetings of the year. The furniture is scheduled to be delivered into the new office starting September 15th. September 15th through September 25th, and our contractual date to receive occupants or to have the building turnover substantial completion is October 30th. So we're still moving through that. We'll start to see, and if anyone wants a tour to see where we are, just let me know and we can
15 over there.
We change it one day and go in on Halloween.
We could. We'd have to wear a costume.
Yeah, of course.
Can you update me on the split of this facility? Is it, what part is the county taking over?
The county is taking over both sides. So the other side we own, this side we lease. When we renewed our lease a couple of years ago, we made this lease assumable. So will we actually be able to reduce our costs for the latter half of the year? We just have to work out the logistics if they want to share cleaning costs, how they want to split utilities and things like that.
So are we going to have to, like, so what are you going to do with the people that office out of this section?
Almost. Working from home, actually.
Yeah.
Why is it that it's
going to be tight.
Why is it that we have to be out of here, but we can stay over there?
Because the county, as part of the discussions we've had all along is if we needed to vacate part of it. Since we still own that, that's really our major operation area with customer service and everything. It's easier to move these guys. There's other places that they could go. And so as part of, in the spirit of cooperation with the county, because when we go and ask them for $63 million, we're going to let them know that they can take the luxurious office space over
this half.
This half.
This half. Yeah. So we own that half.
Correct.
We don't have to leave there. Okay.
So the bike share, which is part of what's going to be moving in here, is they're out of their other space. So they need somewhere to land before they thought we felt would be out of this space. So that's Andy being nice.
Where are those red numbers? Are they in this one in the packet?
Yes. They're on the PCO.
The 7B.
Yeah.
They're in 7C in the attachments.
I thought the note at the bottom was Andy.
No, that's...
If you didn't know somebody else's hard time numbers.
Yeah, and we... I mean, every time we meet, we kind of beat it into them. We have no more money than what we've been approved. Understanding that the tax thing we didn't anticipate. We're still confident that we will come in under budget on that project. I feel like we have more control on that.
What was the contingency on that again? Sorry.
800,000, 600,000, 640-something thousand. We still have about 300-something thousand. So original contracted price was $15,356,000. So we still have about $395,000 left in the contingency. And, you know, they're on notice that if, you know, all of these things are small dollar, but they add up. Then we'll have to start cutting out on landscaping things. That's something that we can do after the fact. We don't need to do plants. Lisa actually had a conversation, I can't remember what the group's name, about maybe helping with a conservation garden.
I spoke with someone at Utah Waterways, but we're just Park City's. Municipal has a conservation coordinator and customer service, Susan Gordon, and she and I have been talking about ways to help partner to really get the conservation garden something that the whole community in the Wasatch Back can benefit from, and so as many partners as we can help to help labor and financially to help support it, I think will be a good ask. So she's got some folks that, Kelly Plock from the extension was also, we've talked to her, but I think there's a group of us that we're going to start meeting over the next, probably over the winter as the building finishes and we start to head to spring, that we can start getting some resources together and people to help get the conservation garden in place. So it's pretty exciting. There's nothing like that on the back, so it'll be nice to have a place. And we can also use, because we have that space, but we're able to lock out, they can do trainings or have education. Evenings or weekends with the conference room that we have right there.
So, okay, I get the original contract contingency was for 60.
So that the executed amount is 487,427. And if you go up toward the top,
was the contingency?
That's how much we. Those are the potential change orders that we have agreed to.
This section.
Yeah. So toward the top, the 366,724. Of that 487, that is the sales tax that we're going to have to pay because the district is not tax exempt when it comes to construction.
That's right. Bullshit. Unless we install it.
Oh, unless we install it?
Yeah, that's the caveat in the tax law.
So what was the original contingency?
If you go to the pay app,
yeah. 7B.
I don't think the contingency is that. Yeah, it would be. Contractor's contingency down here was passive.
Yep.
Is that the two? Owner's contingency and then the.
440 contractor's contingency, and there should have been an owner's contingency below the line.
Pretty bad show on this one.
Yeah, because so knowing that's the contractor's contingency go back up to the payout. So original contract amount, the change orders that have been approved, which change the contract amount.
Which would come out of the contingency.
15.8, not all of them necessarily come out of the contingency.
That's
my
question.
If we approve it adds to the contract, not just out of the contingency.
What's
how that works, right, Andy?
Correct.
Wait a minute, it seems like if we add to the contract, the contingency gets reduced.
Correct.
That's what? The remaining.
Yes.
And that's what I was, so then on 7C,
well, where are you seeing, where are you, board packet 7C or 7C?
No, that table there.
Oh.
Some change orders, I believe, come out of the contingency, but like the sales tax didn't because it wasn't a contingency on we're changing something about the construction. It was a cost that wasn't anticipated. Because if you see, the contingency is only $440,000, but we already have $478,000 in change orders.
But we pay it, whether it comes out of contingency or comes out of district coffers. But we had another million.
And that's where the sales tax is coming from.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why that gets added to the contract amount instead of it just coming out of the contingency.
So $18 million was what we borrowed, or $17 million minus the fee. So the difference between those two is what we have available. So we're still under the $18 million, $17 million and change number. Any other questions?
It did look like we still have a lot to go.
Yeah. And we're only about halfway through the money. Because after you pointed that out, like I've kind of been watching that. Like, you know, we're finally crossing over to where we paid them more than what they think it'll cost to finish. But we're getting down to the last 6 months of construction.
You'll start to see the rest of the glass go in. The interior... exterior siding should be showing up. They're pouring some retaining walls. You'll start to see the excavation and the shaping of the property now that the weather's better. So you're going to start seeing a lot more changes. But if you walk on the inside from where it was to even just this week, the cement pour in the shop.
Drywall's all up and running it in the office.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. The transit center just opened today, right?
Friday. Yeah.
And the shop concrete hasn't come and hasn't had any cracking.
No, it is. It was poured in a controlled environment. Mm-hmm. It had rebar in it. So I mean, we haven't. We saw it the next day.
But we did have the cracking. It was that fast.
Yeah.
But shop floor looks great.
That photo looks great.
Wish we could bore the admin board right now, but that wouldn't work in the timeline.
But one thing I've learned, if you walk around to other facilities that have cement floors, you'll see cracks that you probably never saw before. But because we've seen cracks, we look at ceilings, we look at other things. That's all I have.
Okay. And then let's see. Questions on department updates? I have a question for you, Jess.
I have one for two.
Oh, you do? Okay.
For Sam.
Yeah. So you, well, the report came from Jess. Yeah. So you talked about wanting to do a sampling on smart controllers. And I know that Promontory has required those for new construction for the past 3 or 4 years. So you might be able to reach out to the, I don't know if it's going to be the HOA or whoever, but that might be a way to get a sample.
Yeah, and it'll be important to know if there are smart controllers already in use in the system, because ideally we want these smart controllers to be like our meters, where it's consistent across the board. So yeah, I was not aware that Promontory does that. So
yeah,
thank you. I will make sure.
On the residential side.
Yes, on the residential side.
And we want to try to do a pilot on the commercial side.
Yeah,
where
totally
we
should
take control and see if we can control the water and the flow. And
so maybe they'll only need 950 million gallons
during
our peak day. Okay, and then that was it. Did anyone have any other questions on department updates?
Can you remind me, Summit Park, well, 7, what was our plan that just got approved?
Was that
the upgrades?
Yeah, one of the upgrades is the addition of a chlorinator. And so since we're adding chlorine into the system, we're going through the state to make sure we get permission to be able to do that, and that we're doing that in a manner that is in the most like up-to-date best practices and accepted standards.
And that was the chlorinator we put in the tank. Last year, or this is
one of the prefab
at well seven.
Okay. So there were electrical upgrades that happened, mm-hmm. and now in addition to that, we're doing the chlorination station that's going to be on the outside of the building.
On the outside, not in the bunker,
right?
Oh, wow,
yeah, it has to be in a separate room.
How are we going to fortify that up there?
Chlorine gas, it's a locked thing, and then it's going to have a shed roof over it to be snowproof, essentially. Yeah.
A lot of delinquents up there.
Prefabricated structure similar to what we have at other locations.
Same kind of thing as Kilby.
There's like that can box.
When we purchased those can boxes a couple of years ago, they were how much?
When we purchased those can boxes in 2011, so over a decade ago.
just a few years.
They were, I think, under 10,000, right?
Like, I want to say it's six, seven, something like that.
And we just pay
like 22,000, something like that.
It better be delinquent proof, right? And then,
well, it messed with chlorine too, so it's like,
I mean, you're judging there that they can read, right? And then just for fun, what was the debris in that photo?
Oh, yes.
Like, great. What is that? Like, and how did it get?
How's your dinner tonight?
I was going to say.
Yeah. Looked more like intestine.
The debris in the photo consists of like sticks that maybe are like as thick as my thumb, but what I put like around 6 inches, so like thumb diameter, but like 6 inches. And we got some fish.
I thought there was a fish in there. I couldn't tell.
Demolished fish, like basically fish and sticks. is
fish sticks?
Not fish.
Not fish sticks.
Not fish tips. So those pieces were, I guess when, I can't remember the, what was the event? Do you remember that happened last fall where it initially, it was like some
Weaver
Basin
miscommunication.
Weaver Pumping and Weaver Basin did something in the river, losing blocks of stuff and stirred it up.
Wow.
We sucked all kind of debris and clogged some of our pumps.
So normally, if you had known that ahead of time, they give you.
We showed up.
We told them
to let us know, and they just did it anyway.
I was wondering why we'd never like heard of that happening before. At least this is like a one-off.
Well, and those, all the filters were in the check register, so like
exactly.
Then you get to the end, and it's like, aha.
Yeah, we've had parts of Muskrat in there. We pulled some interesting things out of those parts.
Okay. Yeah.
So I guess part of why I wanted to like include these pictures is to like demonstrate that all it takes is like a 5 or 6 inch piece of stick and a fish to have us pull a pump that is not only critical to operations at certain times of the year, but also just like such a small piece of debris can cost us a lot of money. So it's worth
and time.
Yeah, because pulling pumps doesn't always go smoothly. Like sometimes you end up compromising other parts of the pump in the process of trying to deconstruct it and get these pieces out. So it seemed worthwhile to investigate something that would mitigate the chance of those one-off instances happening more than one-off. That makes sense.
And we've talked about that intake before. Mm-hmm. So if there's some threshold where we would maybe consider moving it, but we weren't there yet.
We looked into that, and this is not practical to do anything at the intake. Whatever we do is going to be extremely costly. So that's why we went and did the screens inside the pump station.
Like putting it out in the reservoir.
Yeah.
It's too shallow there. Yeah. And then you wouldn't be able to maintain
it. I think our water right is not in the reservoir.
That's definitely. Yeah.
But we did talk to the vendor the other day about those screens. They're an 1/8 inch hole. And we did talk to them about fabricating something that's 1/4 inch or possibly 3/8, so we don't collect that much and shut our pumps off.
Yeah, so then the other pictures that besides like the bigger sticks and fish, yeah, now we almost like went to the other extreme where we're filtering out
too much
or like an amount of debris size that could easily get through the pumps, no problem. So we're finding that balance. It's just the issue is initially when we were looking at these options, there was no way to like get a different screen size. It's like it comes in this screen size and that's all you got. So we're like, all right, we'll take it and we'll see what happens and we'll go from there. And so now we're reevaluating what sort of like custom screen can be generated now that we have a better idea of what this will collect and if it's been in use for a few weeks but then shuts off due to the accumulation of a lot of little pieces. Maybe that's just too frequent of it's working too well for like what we need to, if that makes sense.
So, yeah. It's cool. Thank you.
Did you want to follow up on our conversation today?
Oh, I thought that was like an executive thing. But it's not.
It's not agenda.
So.
Informational stuff. Okay.
I can wait.
I have a couple of questions for you. On the new building, we have the ability to expand people, equipment. Would we go up? Well,
so
it's big enough that we have.
To the left side of the building, we over-excavated, and to the left side of the shop, we over-excavated, so if we get to a point where we want to expand either of those, we can.
Okay. Let me see if there's anything else. Well, I have a bunch of other stuff, but I'll wait till the end.
I think we're at the end.
We're at the end.
I guess the other question I have is, do we need to help do anything on the outside? Do you need our help or anybody in this room, on the board?
Not right now. Depending on what happens with the conservation garden,
or, you know, the plantings outside. I mean, we hope to have, you know, some different landscaping in the front, and then on the off the conference room, we hope to have a conservation garden where we can show people what drought tolerant plants, things that don't require water. I mean, maybe you can come weed when we get there.
I'm good at that.
I'm good at that too.
We'll probably need some snow shoveling in the winter.
No, I don't do
this. Window washing.
Yeah, window washing.
No, I don't do that either. But you're satisfied, everybody's satisfied with the building?
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, we had a staff meeting, and then anyone that wanted to was allowed to go tour the facilities, and it was all positive.
Okay. Yeah, other questions that I have relate to, well, we talked about expansion, so answer that. We have enough space for everyone at this point?
Yes.
Okay. And then we could either obviously go up or go out.
Yeah, out. We can't go up. Okay. Neither building's the time to go up.
And the county is behind us, and there's no problems with that. I mean, Jimmy, you presented and they've approved everything. There's no glitches or anything like that.
No, everything's great.
We don't have any elevators that are going to hold up our CO, like the transit district or anything. So.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. Yep.
I think that's all I have at this point. But I was really concerned about expansion because I guess that brings up another thing. There's a lot of development going on in Park City, in Midway, in Heber. I mean, I could go on. And you know, I mean, this place is fucking crazy. And I'm really concerned that we keep up with that growth, whether it be adding more water or increasing rates or both or whatever, or acquisition or anything else. But do we have any projections on growth and where people are moving from to come? Like, I know they're moving from California.
We really don't track where people are coming from. We're always looking for source or opportunities to develop or redevelop source. But our biggest source is going to be through conservation, getting people to use less. And of course, people will argue, well, you're asking me to use less water so more people can come. And that's really not true. But as we've said, our consumption numbers are declining. Over the last couple of years, they are declining, but we've also had favorable weather in the last couple of years.
Okay.
We don't know. I mean, right now the forecast for this summer is supposed to be hotter and drier. So we'll have to see if that pattern holds up. The reservoirs are still in good shape.
Jordan's really full.
But we don't know what next summer is going to bring. So it's something that, you know, Lisa joins different conservation calls and drought response calls all the time. I think we have a pretty good pulse on it, but we didn't expect an earthquake a couple weeks ago. You know, everyone talks about it. It happened. Fortunately, there was no damage to the system.
Thank God, yeah.
You know, we're trying to
prepare. Well, maybe some of it parked. Another question. Have you talked to Park City and the other water companies in the area? I mean, on growth and on expansion and on acquisitions and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we talk generally. We don't really talk about expansion or growth. I mean, we try to partner the best we can when there's opportunities. I mean, we get calls all the time about people either wanting to sell a water right to us, and we explain a water right with source doesn't really do us any good, but as Promontory continues towards Browns Canyon, as development is going towards Richardson Flat, we have people calling us, asking us if they can connect. We're still talking with Lake Rockport Estates. They're working with Bowen Collins. We talked to other contiguous parcel owners that are interested in coming in. So those calls do happen.
You know, what really frightens me, may not be everybody will agree with me, is the expansion is ridiculous. I mean, if you look at Promontory, if you look at the growth that's anticipated over there, I mean, it's crazy. We don't know what they're going to build, whether it's Park City or the outskirts in Kilmore Junction. I mean, I can envision, and you may disagree or agree, there's still a lot of land, even though it's getting crowded. But I'm concerned that we run out of water. Number one, this growth is ridiculous. And I'm not lecturing. I mean,
the one thing we do know about Promontory, though, is the amount of water that is allocated to that development. That's been established for a number of years.
Okay.
Part of the treatment plan expansion.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, that is a finite number without more source or more water. So we know that a part of the treatment plan is to allow for full build out up there. And, you know, Promontory is still kind of a moving target on where they're going to develop within their development, because things change and they find out their soils conditions aren't favorable to building. But we do get calls all the time about people wanting to, you know, join the district, and, you know, we're balancing it, the commitments that we currently have versus what people want to do, and source is king. I mean, we did have someone call us that's got land over in Richardson Flat wanting to bring water rights, and there's no value to a water right to us. We have plenty of water rights, we just don't have source, and we know source is finite.
That's all I have. If I have other questions, I'll just
call.
But just one thing, Joel, like when we did our master plan 2 years ago now, when Bone and Collins looked at all that stuff, they look at the available density and the what stuff is zoned for, and they look between what we're serving, what the sewer district is serving, and how many, you know, residential equivalent units that are slated and available for those things. So we have a pretty good estimate of stuff that without zoning changes, now that changes it, but without any zoning changes, we've got a pretty good handle on what is available in the immediate area and things that we might take over. And so that master plan, which is, you know, some of what is driving the plan expansion, is, you know, a calculated estimate. You know, it's still an estimate, but it's a calculated estimate. It's not, you know, it's not just off the cuff. It has some pretty good, you know, numbers and methodology behind it to come up with those, what they're projecting for future demands.
Another question to have, and everybody can answer this. Are we working with the Planning Commission at all about growth and development and things like that?
We keep tabs on what's going before the Planning Commission. And of course, the Planning Commission, before projects go before the planning staff send us projects for comments before they go to the Planning Commission. So we're pretty well informed of what potentially is out there. And, you know, you hear about projects and they disappear. I mean, you know, like you said, on the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we hear about projects that aren't just within us. Like, we see stuff that goes towards Gorgoza or Summit Water, right? They're not utility provider agnostic. They send it to everybody, right? So everybody gets some comment on it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to take up so much time, but I'm really concerned about this. I mean, growth is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I mean, I can remember when Park City was nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. The growth has been phenomenal since 2005, since I've gotten here. I mean, it's I mean, you've seen it as well.
Oh, yeah, I've been here since 2001.
Whether it be houses or condos or townhomes or whatever, I just want us to be ahead of the game, so to speak, because, I mean, you never know what's going to be approved.
Yeah, and we're trying to stay ahead. We don't know. And treatment plant expansion is based on what we think is coming, but we could build it and they don't come, right? But you can't not. But well, you know,
you could also tell them to go to Heber or Midway.
You could.
You could. That's not a bad idea. Okay, that's all I have. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, if there's not anything else, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We are adjourned at 7:58.